Some other news now. Let's go to Los Angeles, where Miramonte Elementary is open again with an entirely new staff. The school had previously shut down after two people who taught there were charged with sex abuse and lewd acts with students. Changing the whole staff was a dramatic response, prompting even some parents to wonder if it was too drastic. NPR's Karen Grigsby Bates reports.
On Thursday morning, many parents hustled their children onto school grounds where there seemed to be almost as many media as students.
They say having new teachers at their school makes it feel like a whole new Miramonte. And a lot
while many kids lined up at Miramonte's gates to be welcomed back by a staff that didn't know them, others remained on the lawn. They carried signs saying, "We love our teachers and don't condemn all for the acts of a few." District spokesperson Tom Waldman says he believes parents who are keeping children out of school to protest the teacher reassignment will only do so for a short time.
It's a difficult day, but we think in the days and weeks to come, parents will realize their kids need to be in school and that the new faculty is an experienced LAUSD faculty that will do its best and do well educating these kids.
The protests have been going on all week. On Wednesday evening, a small group of Miramonte mothers and children gathered in front of the school to urge Superintendent John Dacey to return the ousted teachers. Guadalupe Garcia nodded for her 8-year-old third grader, Roberto Alvarez, to translate how she felt about the replacement faculty.
Que no los conocemos.
That we don't know them.
No tenemos confianza quienes son.
We don't have trust for what they are.
No sabemos si son buenos o son malos.
We don't know if they're nice or mean.
Mrs. Garcia says she was pleased with Roberto's former teacher and worries that the entire character of Miramonte will change, even if the new teachers are good ones.
We're sad because without our teachers, nothing is going to be the same.
Margarita Acevas says that's a good thing. Her sixth grader, Melanie, will be returning, and Mrs. Acevas applauded Superintendent Dacey's decision to clean house top to bottom.
I'm pretty sure that it was a very good decision what the superintendent had done, and it's going to be a better outcome for everybody.
The teachers removed from Miramonte were scheduled to transfer on Thursday morning to an empty, newly constructed school. While there on paid administrative leave, they were to prepare lesson plans to give to their replacements, be interviewed as part of the ongoing investigation, and receive counseling themselves. But instead, the 85 teachers went downtown to their union headquarters to file a grievance against the school system for having removed them. At a press conference in front of the school on Thursday morning, union president Warren Fletcher said Miramonte's scandal claimed many victims.
The teachers and the parents and the students of this community feel betrayed.
Union vice president Juan Ramirez says parents are indeed upset by the scandal here, but many are also upset by the school district's decision to remove all of Miramonte's teachers without consulting them. The continued protests, he says, may not return removed teachers any sooner, but they do serve a purpose. They give parents in this struggling neighborhood the right to demand accountability from the system, just like their better-off counterparts across town.
It's good that they're doing this because the district needs to realize that, you know, even if we're a low-income neighborhood, they should be respected.
Karen Grigsby Bates, NPR News.
And hard to follow that, but we'll try. In a typical school year, about 600,000 students drop out. Some eventually return to school or get GEDs, and some head to their local shopping mall for school. Yes, the shopping mall. Christine Jessel of member station WUOT explains.
Knoxville Center Mall is one of those regional malls that's seen better days. There's still a JCPenney and a Sears, but in between, there are a lot of empty, closed-down stores. And then there's the high school, where Kelsey Jones just got her diploma.
Well, at first, people are just like, wait, what? When you're in the mall, you're like, oh, I'm in a mall. But when you walk in here, it's like a totally different atmosphere. You don't even feel like you're in a mall.
The school looks more like an office than a mall. There are small conference tables, beige walls, and several vending machines.
Good morning, Will.
Hey, Miss Chloe.
How are you doing today, baby?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing well.
It's not the kind of alternative high school you might first imagine. Brett McKenzie says these aren't troublemakers. The recent graduate says a lot of these students might have otherwise dropped out because they fell behind. But then they were given this option.
You get your list of classes, all the stuff you have to finish, like all your credits. You have three classes a day, and you just sit and you work at it your own pace.
You see that division sign up there?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to change it to multiplication. What happens to this second one?
you flip it.
Okay, break it.
The students here take the same classes and standardized tests as those in traditional high schools, but the education style is different. There are no class lectures. The instruction is personalized. Long before the morning shoppers arrive, students come up to math teacher Janice Clark's desk for one-on-one help.
This tells me that they're both going to be positive.
Yeah.
Okay, so plus and plus. And then A squared.
Mall employees of Simon Property Group created the Simon Youth Foundation to try to improve education across the nation. And at the same time, it also gets more people into the malls. The foundation focuses on at-risk students who may be homeless, ill, or working full-time to support their families. The group donates the space rent-free. Foundation President Michael Durnell says the local school district pays staff, buys supplies, and sets the curriculum.
It's a real degree. It's not a GED. A lot of our kids are looking at military as a career. A lot of our students look at a two-year certificate as a career opportunity. Some go on to the four-year school. But these kids are making life-changing decisions just by getting that degree.
The first mall school opened in Texas in 1998. There are now 23 in Simon Malls across the U.S. with a claimed 90% graduation rate. The foundation plans to expand, including Atlanta, Chicago, and Los Angeles. Mall schools do have critics, but Dan Dominich of the American Association of School Administrators says the criticism centers on location, not the programs.
Whatever number of students you succeed with is more than you would have had otherwise. And so when you're doing something like this, there is no downside. It's only the benefit that you have been able to save and keep in schools and achieve your goal of providing every child in your school district with a high school diploma.
Some districts let students earn class credits working in mall stores. Others don't. And even though these are public schools, the foundation does set some guidelines. Districts must cap classes at a 15-to-1 student-teacher ratio, much lower than the national average. For graduates like Brent McKenzie, who'd fallen 2 years behind in classes, the formula works.
Without the academy, I would not be joining the military. So without this school, I wouldn't be much of anything. With this school, I'm going to be making money one day.
McKenzie says he's looking forward to a future he wasn't sure he'd have a year ago. And now he says he has the best gift he's ever gotten at a mall, a high school diploma. For NPR News, I'm Christine Jessel in Knoxville, Tennessee.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. President Obama unveiled an election year budget in a state that could matter in November. He chose a community college in Virginia, a state that voted for him in 2008 after backing Republicans for decades. His budget may not get far in Congress, but he found a mostly receptive audience yesterday. Here's NPR's Don Gagne.
Mr. Obama was on familiar turf as he made his fourth stop as president to Northern Virginia Community College. That's NOVA for short.
It is great to be back here at NOVA. I've been here so many times, I'm about 3 credits short of graduation.
He spoke in a gymnasium at the college's Annandale, Virginia campus. Bleachers on stage behind him were filled with students. They and the audience in front of him cheered frequently, so much so that it felt like a campaign event, minus the signs, banners, and buttons. The president was in rally mode.
American manufacturers are creating jobs for the first time since the 1990s. The economy is growing stronger. The recovery is speeding up. And the last thing we can afford to do right now is to go back to the very policies that got us into this mess in the first place. We can't afford it.
President Obama, not unlike President Bush before him, is a fan of community colleges, what they stand for in terms of affordable education and their ability to help older students and those who've lost their jobs get a new start. He spoke of a proposal to provide $8 billion for these colleges to partner with businesses to provide training and job skills that are in demand. In the audience was 20-year-old student Natalie Benitez, who also works at the restaurant her parents own and run.
I'm studying business, and I want to transfer to a four-year, either George Mason or James Madison, to study marketing.
Benitez says she continues to be a supporter of the president, even as her family has felt the effects of a weak economy.
Business has gone a little down for it's been, I guess, a little harder for my parents. But right now it's actually been picking up. So compared, I think, to 2 years ago, it was, I think there has been improvement.
Also there was 18-year-old college freshman Daniel Corcoran. He grew up in a Republican family and describes himself as a social conservative, but says he was pleased to hear the president call for more support for schools like this one.
In general, it's definitely a good thing when somebody is trying to help people get an education. I find it hard to find error with that.
Corcoran juggles a full load of classes and a part-time job. He works 15 to 20 hours a week. He says he expects to vote for the Republican nominee this fall and says the president needs to take ownership of the economy, even if it was in horrible shape when he took office.
To keep playing almost 4 years later the, well, look what I inherited card, I feel like he's kind of stretching it a little bit.
Nearby stands one of those older students you find at community colleges. 50-year-old Terrence Callahan is on disability and is studying to become a substance abuse counselor. Ask his thoughts on the president, and he says it's been a tough 4 years, but that Republicans in Congress share the blame.
Congress has not given him the opportunity to bring jobs or anything. It's just ain't giving him a chance, for real. I mean,
that's a case the president makes as well. Look for him to continue to make the very short trip from the White House to Virginia to spread that message. It's a place that's as important politically as it is convenient. Don Gagne, NPR News.